May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, to start in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God. It's always interesting to me that Paul didn't say that he was Rome's prisoner. He didn't believe Rome had that kind of authority over him. He was in Christ, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus since before time. Amazing scripture. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Now there's a lot there, amazing stuff that we'll unpack this weekend, starting tonight, Lazarus. But I was just thinking about this scripture on the way here, and I was knowing Bracken read that scripture from Luke 2, and it just reminds me of God's previousness. And the fact is that at that 40-day period, when they did what they were supposed to do, and they presented Jesus at the temple as holy. He was the firstborn boy, and so they committed his life to the Lord as holy. And the interesting thing about that biblical understanding, and so a lot of times Westerners don't get this, is that they made a decision for Christ before Christ ever could make it for himself as the Son of Man. They decided for him. That's the principle. The parent would give the firstborn and say, we've decided for you that you're holy, set apart for God. Now, of course, the person has to make that decision too. They have to own that, but I believe they have to fight their way through the grace of God not to. It's not just a ceremony. There's something to it. God does things like that. And I believe our walk with the Lord is so much like that. You see, it's not nearly so much as I would receive Jesus into my life, though I know that that's true, as much as he received us into his life. It wasn't so much that I received him into my existence, but I was received into his existence. Now, being in his existence, he now manifests his life in my existence. And so there's this mutual indwelling. But so when it says in Colossians 3, for you have died, the person you used to be, if they're dead, they don't exist anymore. We may give into the illusion and act like the old man, but that's not who we are. The old fallen, false self, the old independent self. You are an individual self, but the independent self was crucified. The dying to self stuff Jesus took care of 2,000 years ago. He doesn't trust you with it. You can't crucify yourself. So he took care of it. And so we're now been plunged into his life. We've been grafted into his existence. We've been woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence, included into the life that he lives and the favor that he's worthy of, that he's under in his relationship with the Father. And so as my life, everything about my life, he's already decided for me. The grace is already there. It's just, am I going to join him, add my childlike faith to his faith for that already? See, one of my things my spiritual father used to say is that once you become a Christian, you understand who you are in Christ, you don't have any more decisions to make. You just have instructions to obey. If he's my life, and again, I don't lose my individuality because the decisions that he makes about my life all fit into my unique personality and things that I love and prefer. He created that. He did that. You know, if you love baseball, this God who's now human and God, he's human. He's forever human. Identify with your humanity. He's involved in all the things that are human for you. He put that love for baseball in you. And this verse says this. I hear people say this a lot. They'll ask for prayer. Please pray that God will give me the grace to do so and so. Well, too late. You can go ahead and check that box. It says in this scripture, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We looked at this the other day. Let's remind what our... We all have different assignments, but we all have the same calling in that assignment. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What's the holy calling? Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Whatever your assignment is, it's measured in terms of God's perspective as to whether you fulfill that assignment, is if are you manifesting Christ-likeness? Not are they manifesting Christ-likeness? Not is this a very Christ-like environment, but are you manifesting Christ-likeness? Not are you trying to be Christ-like? Are you participating in the existence of Jesus, allowing Christ to be Christ-like through you in every situation, relationship, and circumstance? And for that to happen, I don't react to the things that go on around me. I respond to the one who's my life. And in every circumstance and situation, he's already decided for me. He just invites me to join him, to trust in him for that. That's what he says here. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. It's not me trying to be like Jesus. It's not me trying to fulfill the assignment in my own strength. But according to his own purpose, my assignment's not really my assignment. It's his assignment manifested in my life. According to his purpose and grace, which was gifted, granted us, where? In Christ Jesus from before all time. You don't have to pray for God to give you grace. It was given to you before time existed. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God saw you. He was already in love with you before you were ever created. And he already had a plan for you. You were predestined to be Christ-like. You were created to participate in the life of the triune God, to find your existence in Jesus. And all the grace that's in Jesus has been deposited in you. Therefore, if there's somebody I'm dealing with about something and they've offended me, I am to forgive them from Christ. What does that mean? So I don't usually have time for this long conversation when I'm talking to the Lord about something, but it kind of goes like this. Jesus is saying, I've already decided for you that we're going to forgive that person. I've already done it. So the grace is there. Just say yes and join me. Now, I don't have time for all that. I just have to stop and go, I'm in Christ. Of course, we forgive them, Lord, because he's already decided that for me. Or if I find myself being attacked with anxiety, he says to me, I've already decided for you that I'm at peace about this, and I'm your life. So it gives you the right to be anxious and afraid. I'm the grace to be at peace. I'm your peace. Will you just join me? Say yes. Well, Lord, if you have peace about this, yes, of course. You're my life. What am I going to do? Stick my head out of that and try to handle it myself like an idiot? See, there's the difference. It's that way in every single situation. Grace deposited in me in the person of Christ. Because Christianity is worked out in a person, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Everything you ever face, the problem's already solved in Christ for you to face it. The grace is already yours in Jesus. It's his grace. It's his free activity on your behalf. I just think that's so cool. I think I told this story the other day. I'll tell it again. I was praying about something the other day, and a person, y'all that wouldn't know, but they just were difficult, and they weren't reciprocating love in terms of just being kind and accepting and inviting. And I just sort of found I actually was living as if I was outside of Christ, having this conversation, getting frustrated, having pretend conversations and all that kind of stuff. Then finally, I got to the point where I remembered. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he said to me, why don't we love him more? Because I do. And I thought, of course, the renewing of our mind, geez, Manetti. Yes, Lord, we will love him more because you're my life. It really is that easy. The challenge is that the enemy tries to deceive us into thinking that we're still under the reign of sin and we're still the old man that can make choices on their own out of their feelings, out of their offenses, out of their whatever, instead of enjoying the wonderful ride of being woven into the very existence of Jesus and living from him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.